Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Rich Eisen best of. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
All I do is win. I'm dodging the life.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
I'm thrilled to have him on this program, him being the man who bought the National Wrestling Alliance, the oldest pro wrestling organization on planet Earth. His band, The Smashing Pumpkins' new album, Seer, is available everywhere now. It's the 11th studio album of The Smashing Pumpkins. Billy Corgan here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Billy?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. What's on your sports radar screen these days, Billy? Walk me through it. What do you got for me?
You mean in general or what we're doing? Sorry, I didn't want to.
No, in general. In general for you, like your rooting interest before we get into NWA. What's on your sports radar
screen? Well, I'm a long-suffering Cubs fan, and we're back. We're back in the cellar for a while. It's brutal.
I'm so sorry. And, you know, it didn't help that Rizzo, Baez, and Chris Bryant homered, I think, in each their first games with each team that they joined. Mm. It couldn't have been helpful.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously you talk sports. I mean, my complaint for years was after they won the World Series, they seemed to just pivot towards just trying to hit home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was obviously some sort of data-driven thing because they weren't even trying to hit against the shift. They were willing to have guys hit 240 but hit 26 home runs, and it just destroyed the team. I mean, to me, you had really good hitters up there who just were just swinging for the fences all the time, and it seemed to destroy the culture of the team. I mean, I watched it happen. They were blowing games. They could have easily won. They refused to play small ball. They ran Madden out of town as if it was his fault, and then they just continued it. So I don't know. That's my perspective as a fan watching it all sort of disintegrate in slow motion.
By the way, that's a fantastic perspective. That's a very insightful perspective, Billy.
I used to be the Cubs correspondent for a local radio station. So
yeah?
I did that for a couple of years. That was good fun. But I love the game, but it's hard to watch. I mean, I'm speaking to anybody in general. I can't stand data analytics-driven baseball. It drives me absolutely insane. It's counterintuitive to the way the game is played. And we, you know, for baseball fans, we know there's lots of games that are won more just on a play. It's you can't statistic your way through winning. I just don't buy it.
Well, I mean, last year's World Series, that was as front and center as possible when the Rays yanked Blake Snell right in the middle of a game six that he was dominating against the Dodgers. And then sure as you could see it coming, that was the end of that because it was a third time through the order. And that's the way they do things. In Tampa.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, one at bat comes to mind. It was one of those playoff games where the Cubs had backed themselves in a corner against the Brewers. They blew it at the end of the season. It was a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the eighth inning. The Cubs were down by a couple runs. Here comes Kyle Schwarber, who, you know, is definitely capable of being a contact hitter, comes up against the shift, and what's he trying to do in the eighth inning? Trying to swing for a home run. It's like all he had to do was just poke one down the third baseline. We got a guy in base. Tying run coming up to the plate. No, he's swinging right towards the shift. You just want to lose your mind.
Yeah, so I can't stand the shift, Billy. I'll be honest with you. I think it's making baseball worse. That I think that, and I understand that, you know, managers should be able to, you know, move people around as they see fit. But I don't know, man. I just find, and that, you know, there was a Ted Williams shift, you know, way back in the day. Mm-hmm. But to me, I just think that they should put a shortstop and third baseman must be on the left side of second base as you're looking out from home plate. And a second baseman and first baseman has to be on the right side and can't be any further out into the outfield than about 5 feet. You could make some sort of a line, imaginary line or something like that, and see how that works for a year. You know, like, let's, I would love nothing more. And I think you'd see a lot more base hits, more runners, more stolen bases, more movement like you're talking about. You know, I would see that.
Well, look, you know, they what drives me insane is they keep trying to speed the game up, and I get that. You know, there is a point when a game's too long. But what they try to do is they try to make baseball not baseball. And when you make it sort of not fun, and it's no longer about skill and sort of playing the game, and you've just turned it into basically a living video game, I mean, the kids are just going to play video games. They're going to watch that.
Right.
I mean, Anthony Rizzo, right? Great hitter. You know, watched him for many years with the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last couple of years they put the shift on him. So he's a natural pull hitter. So what's he going to do? He's either going to hit a home run, a double, or into the shift. Those are his choices. Or he's got to become a completely different hitter. So somebody hands him a piece of paper and says, "Well, you're better off to hit in the shift." So he hits 230. You know, I mean, who wants to watch that?
Nobody. I agree with you. Is there any analytics in music?
Quick story. Sean Parker, you know, who was one of the original Napster guys and went on to be one of the founders of Facebook,
mm-hmm.
he pulled me aside one time at a party and he said, you know, I've developed this AI system that writes songs. It analyzes songs and can write, basically emulate hit songs. And then even recently, somebody had taken all the Nirvana songs, computer analyzed them and did like the idealized Nirvana song, and they actually even had a band record it and release the song.
Mm-hmm.
And as I told Sean Park, and as I tell anybody who hears that, I just think that's the stupidest thing in the world. You know, because, again, it's the X factor. It's like, you know, trust me, the music business doesn't want weirdos like me. But you can't invent me in a test tube, you know.
Why do you think the music industry doesn't want a weirdo like you, Billy Corgan? What do you mean by that?
Because look, you know, every business is about margins and commoditization, right? And the music business is no different.
Right.
But if you look historically who the biggest stars are in the music business, they tend to be outlying personalities. Michael Jackson, Jimi Hendrix, Kurt Cobain, you know, James Hetfield, whatever. You know, they tend to be slightly different. You know, maybe it's an ADD thing. Maybe it's a brain chemistry problem. I don't know. But those are the people who tend to make the music that gets remembered.
Mm-hmm.
And they really want to try to machine build those. I mean, look, Spotify not too long ago actually signed a record label that produces machine-made music. And the reason they did it is so when you're on your treadmill doing, you know, your spinning routine, you know, your routine today, you know, keep your heart rate up.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those songs are machine generated by Spotify so they can make the money because they don't want to have to pay artists.
So I am mandated to ask, how did the song that was AI created do when it was released? Did it?
You mean the Nirvana one?
Yeah, sure.
It was kind of weird because it kind of sounds like Nirvana, you know, it's kind of familiar, but then you listen to this, like, it doesn't make any sense because, you know, a good song is like telling a story. So it's like hearing. It's like if you took all the best finishes of a movie and edited them all together. It doesn't make any sense, and that's what the Nirvana song, the fake Nirvana song, sounded like.
So then, obviously, just like the whole gut and feel that you were saying is should be relied upon in sports, certainly baseball, how do you rely on that as a songwriter, guitarist, singer, Billy Corgan? How do you rely on that?
How do you rely on your intuition?
Yeah, your gut and your feel about,
you know,
something like that.
Listen, when I was a kid and I told people I wanted to be a musician, much mm-hmm. less be a famous musician, everyone told me I was absolutely insane. Then when I became a famous musician, everyone still told me I was insane. I'd just been proven right.
That sounds like a lyric, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Write that down.
Someone once told me, you know, once you follow a delusion to the end of the rainbow and you're proven right, no one's ever going to tell you you're wrong again, no matter how crazy the delusion. So I make decisions all the time which make absolutely no sense to me, but they turn out to be, you know, lucrative, not necessarily in the financial sense, but in the emotional or musical sense. So that's all I know how to do, is just trust whatever says go left instead of right. And look, most musicians go right because it's comfortable. They get patted on the head and say, yeah, it sounds like Pink Floyd, therefore it's good. Outlying personalities, you know, tend to hit against the shift. You know, you just have to make those choices.
So how is your 11th studio album, Smashing Pumpkins, new album, Seer, available everywhere now, different than first? How have you evolved, Billy Corgan?
Machine work, not so much in how It's more how music is made. Everybody uses computers now. We used to, you know, back in the old days, we recorded on tape. I'm sure you remember that, those days.
Sure.
And everybody uses computers now. So it's really changed the way young people write songs. And at first, I was very resistant to it because I thought it was antithetical to the tradition that I'd been raised in, which was more based on John Lennon and Bob Dylan and stuff like that. And then at some point, I realized that the language had changed forever. It wasn't going to go back. And so I was basically the guy on the corner with the saxophone saying what happened to the big bands. You know, if you listen to most popular music these days, you don't hear a lot of guitar. You hear a lot of kind of bright, very shiny, loud music. And so I had to sort of adapt my brain and think, well, can I make music in this way? Or should I just, in essence, keep making music, which I admittedly think is kind of dated? And so I was just wrapping my head around the way people were making music these days. So I was able to use technology in a way that was more intuitive and not, you know, the machines don't write my music, but I do use the machines to help me do things I couldn't do, you know, otherwise.
Smashing Pumpkins, Billy Corgan here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk wrestling. Why'd you buy the NWA? Why did you go do something like that?
Well, I entered the business about 10 years ago, you know, kind of on a whim. And, you know, it also fell in. I think MTV actually ran a piece when I entered professional wrestling. It was under the heading of Signs of the Apocalypse. And I'm not even kidding. So there was something about people's resistance to being professional wrestling that I kind of liked. I liked playing the contrarian in it. So, I found myself working for a company a few years back, which is now called Impact, but at the time was called TNA. It was the second biggest company in the world. And I ended up working, you know, in this very, almost like a Dallas setting with a, you know, the rich female owner who was like something out of a comic book, and lots of intrigue. And I ended up trying to buy the company, and they tried to screw me out of, I think it was $1.83 million. And,
wow.
And so in that, I ended up leaving that company, and then I sat on it for 6 months and thought, I'm kind of done with wrestling. And then the opportunity came up to buy the NWA, which in 1948 was the primary wrestling organization in the world. It's the oldest one in the world, 73 years and counting. And there was this opportunity to buy this historic promotion. And when I did, people ran articles, what did he buy? He bought absolutely nothing. What do three letters mean? Absolutely nothing. People thought I was insane. Even the WWE thought it was so worthless they didn't want to buy it, even though it was, you know, not that expensive considering what the WWE is worth. And I've turned it around and brought it back to world prominence. And now we have Ric Flair coming into an NWA ring for the first time in about 30-something years. Just lots of fun stuff. It's, you know, and if anybody's a professional wrestling fan, I assume some of your listeners are. It's kind of a golden age of wrestling right now. It's kind of a new renaissance. There's lots happening. I mean, CM Punk just came back after 7 years, about broke the bank with social media and attention, and that just, even ESPN was running headlines about it. So, you know, professional wrestling's here to stay. It's a big business. It's taken a long time to be seen as mainstream entertainment, but obviously the success of the WWE being a billion-dollar business proves that, you know, its best days are still to come.
Oh, there's no question how popular wrestling is. As a matter of fact, my social media grandmaster here on the Rich Eisen Show, as he likes to be called, TJ Jefferson, is a diehard. I'll give you the floor, TJ. I know you wanted to ask Billy a question.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Billy, how you doing, man?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. You know, you and I, we have a few friends in common, a guy named Tommy Lipnick and Josh Richmond, who I was just texting with a few minutes ago. So Josh said to tell you what's up, and he's got an 82-inch TV to watch football with.
That's good.
He said it's going to drive you up the wall.
he's one of those people who talks to me about USC football, and I think he might as well be speaking Martian.
Now, Rich explained that you bought the NWA and why, but Billy, for me, like, I'm an old school wrestling fan. Like, right over my shoulder here, I have the red velvet version of the Dome Globe belt. I actually met you at a Super Bowl party with Josh a few years ago, and I showed you a picture of this belt. So my question to you is, when did your love of wrestling start? When did it happen? What guys were your favorites as you were growing up and really getting into wrestling?
Well, I started watching in the early 70s with my 80-year-old great-grandmother. Mm-hmm. And so I was watching. I didn't know I was watching, you know, legends, you know, The Crusher, Dick the Bruiser, Baron von Raschke, you know, Vern Gagne. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know these guys were legends. They were just on my local Saturday morning television. And here I was, a little kid, watching just, you know, these guys beat each other up. And it seemed like a strange alien world. So somehow it stuck with me through all the years. And then in the late 90s, I kind of fell back in love with it when I started meeting guys behind the scenes. I met Stone Cold, Mick Foley, The Rock, you know, really nice people behind the scenes, very friendly. They kind of explained to me what I was watching, and I found myself sort of intrigued by the business more so than even what was going on in the ring. And that started me on this crazy journey, and 20 years later, here I am owning the NWA. And if you would have told me when I was a little kid I'd own the NWA, I would tell you were insane.
Well, as someone who's a huge wrestling fan, Billy, I just want to say thank you for doing that, because, you know, a lot of times wrestling fans like to argue this company better than this company, that company is better than that company. But if you're a true wrestling fan, all you want is for all these organizations to succeed and put out a good products. And I think that's where we're at right now. Now, you may have just broken some news that I don't think has really been out there. Ric Flair did ask for his release from WWE. He showed up at a AAA show in Mexico, and now you just said that Ric Flair will be showing up on NWA.
He'll be at our NWA 73 show. You can watch it on Fight, which is a digital platform. Mm-hmm. It's on pay-per-view. Yeah, Ric will be there. And he's going to come into the ring and address the fans, which is amazing because he literally hasn't been in an NWA ring. I mean, you can argue about because he was obviously in Crockett and WCW. Mm-hmm. So you pick your year when Ric left the NWA, but it's been a good 30-something year.
Yeah, like 85, 86, 87, yeah. Somewhere in there.
And obviously, Ric's the greatest NWA champion of all time. Mm-hmm. And as somebody said recently, you know, as far as that guard that we grew up on with Dusty and Harley Race, Rick's that other guy in Mount Rushmore that we all look up to. And so to have him coming in to help us with our show is really a great honor. And I think it's going to be really exciting. And we're wrestling at the Chase in St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
Which hasn't had wrestling in the building for 37 years. So it's a historic night all the way around.
Yeah, two big pay-per-views this weekend, including the all-women's pay-per-view Empower. Did I say that right? Because there's three R's at the end.
You got to kind of roll your R's.
Okay, sorry. Let me do that again. Pardon me, Billy. I got to get into the role here. So let me do that again. Wrestling at the Chase is returning after 37 years with two big pay-per-views this weekend, including the all women's pay-per-view Empower. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I got the pro read there. Thank you.
Oh, please. I only know one speed, Billy. That's Saturday, August 28th. And then the big one, NWA 73, commemorating NWA's 73rd anniversary, Sunday, August 29th, both on Fight TV, and Ric Flair's back in the fold.
I think we broke news here on the Rich Eisen
Billy
show.
Did. Thank you very much. Thank Billy, you, Billy. Corgan. We appreciate the time. Let's do this again. We'll have you on anytime you want to chop it up about anything. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Whenever you want to talk about baseball's insanity, I'm happy to be your.
Well, how about this one?
Your cudgel.
The one thing that I'm railing against right now, Billy, is the fact that baseball does not require their umpires to explain to the crowd what they're reviewing and why they came out of review with the result that they came out. They just use pantomime, safe, out. You have no idea if what they've just seen, and it's infuriating to me. It's just,
but isn't being mad at the umps just part of the game?
I guess so. It is my, it's just, I guess, a more high-tech way of screaming, you suck, Blue, you know, but I'd like to feel like I'm a little bit better than that. I do love the sport. I honestly, like, it is my first love. I talk NFL for a living on NFL Network now for 19 years, but it is my first love. So you and I can absolutely bond on that, and I appreciate the call.
Do you have 5 seconds for a quick 6 degrees of separation
a million
between
percent.
You and I?
Oh, Billy Corgan?
Okay.
Yes.
When the NFL Network started, they came to me and they wanted to use my song Today for the first promo ad.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what happened?
I think I said no.
Is that how it wound up with Dear Mr. Fantasy from Traffic?
Yes.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it was originally supposed to be Today. I don't know how Blue you can work on your network here.
Yeah.
I believe they lowballed me, the NFL Network, and I remember thinking, I think they got money. I think they could pay a little bit more. So I said no.
Okay, in the most polite manner in which you're telling that story. So, because that was one of the greatest commercial campaigns I've ever been fortunate to be featured in, is the campaign of Being Rich Doesn't Suck, was the tagline, and the Dear Mr. Fantasy was the soundtrack. You're saying the first choice was your song, and you said no.
Yes, and when I saw the ad and I saw how well it was done, of course, I was regretful because I thought it was a great ad. that's why I remember it so clearly, because it was one of those kind of, you know, I could have been in Gone with the Wind. My song could have been in the original NFL Network commercial. And
I appreciate you equating those two pop culture iconic moments,
absolutely,
my commercial and Gone with the Wind. Billy, I think that's That's appropriate. So thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, brother. That's right, Billy Corgan, everybody. Get out of here.
How about that?
Wow.
Today.
That would have been a good. That's the greatest. That was fantastic song for that.
And the NFL's like,
lowballing a little bit, you know? They got some
scratch.
So
Steve Winwood has low standards? Is that what he just told me?
Wow.
I don't know. That's a great song, man. So.
That's actually very...
Or did they hit the number for Steve Winwood in traffic? The Dear Mr. Fantasy commercial.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Dude.
Epic.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a Rich Eisen Best Of.
He is one of the top players in the National Football League. As a matter of fact, he's made the top 10 on the top 100 NFL list and NFL Network, and that gets revealed coming up this weekend. Played in the Super Bowl last year, won it 2 years ago, and despite all of his excellence on the field and off the field as a community man, he lights up the internet because he decides to shave his face. It's insane, the world that this man lives, but we always appreciate when Travis Kelce calls into the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Travis?
Rich, fellas, how are we doing today, guys? It's a beautiful day out here in Kansas City. Got a nice, clean-shaved face.
Really? You're not growing it? You're not growing it back? Like you're starting from scratch every day? Like literally?
You know what?
Really?
Yeah, after that picture, I realized, you know what? I need to really embrace who I am. And looking at myself in the mirror really motivates me to, you know what I mean, keep doing the right things in life. going to work, playing hard,
yeah,
being selfless, you know?
Right.
That's what it's all about, man.
But what a pain in the ass it is to do that every day if you don't have to. I mean, right? It's maintenance. No.
Oh, man. To be honest, right now I'm just torturing my girlfriend because she's not a fan of just the shaved face, the baby face.
Oh my!
It's kind of poking the bear right now. It's just having fun.
Travis, it's not even popular at home too. You're getting it on Twitter.
No.
You're getting it really. It's not even.
Yeah, I'm getting uppercuts and just left hooks from everybody. That's good though. It's good fun. It's good fun, and I'm enjoying every bit of it.
Dude, seriously, what's it like when you look at your phone and people are like, "What the hell just happened?" And you're like, walk me through the process of how it led to you defacing your own selfie and using it as your avatar. Walk me through that process, please, Travis Kelce. Give me that one.
Well, I couldn't even tell you, man. I just jumped on social media, and after a hard training camp day, I mean, I feel like it was about 110 degrees outside, and I'm going to grab lunch, and I just so happened to throw Twitter on the phone, and I just started scrolling, and I was like, man, a lot of people are talking about this terrible picture I just took. I wonder how this is going to go over.
Yeah.
And sure enough, like within the next like 2 days, I mean, every single ESPN, NFL, you name it, Shade Room, every single social media outlet had wrote something just hilarious, And I was in a frenzy, man. I was caught in the wash, and you know, all you can do at that point is just laugh it off, man.
Yeah.
And just, you know, learn to live, you know, and fight another day.
And then deface your selfie and own it. That's what you need to do.
Yeah, no, that was also the other part, man. You know what I mean? Just own it, man.
Yeah.
Just own it.
Because, you know, we did the same.
You can't fight it.
We did it.
Once you fight it,
yeah.
Social media is just going to turn it up a whole nother level.
Well, you know, we did it too. We defaced our, we drew beards on ourselves. That's still up on our YouTube page. That's still up on our YouTube header.
That's how you bring a community together right now. And that's why I love you guys, man. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm on the Rich Eisen Show, baby.
Oh, man. Travis Kelce here on the Rich Eisen Show. And one other thing that I kind of want to hit with you. I don't know if I heard this or not. I think I heard this. Is it true your name isn't really pronounced Kelce? It's Kelce, and somebody calls it Kelce? Is that true? Did I hear that? Travis,
I mean, so there is truth to it. Yes, there is a lot of truth to it. So I was on Taylor Lewan's podcast.
Yes,
absolutely butchered his last name, mm-hmm. and I've known him for years. I felt like an idiot when I said Lewan.
Yes,
and he called me out on it, and I was just like, man, you know what? People have been saying my name wrong the whole time, too. And there is some truth to it. Everybody on my father's side has said Kelce my entire life. But my father, growing up, just kind of got lazy and didn't really want to keep correcting everybody that was calling him Kelce.
Uh-huh.
So he just went along with Kelce. So my father worked from home and answered the phone calls every single time somebody would call it. Hello, Ed Kelce. So, I mean, my name is Kelce. I'm rolling with what my dad says, what my brother says.
Okay.
Shout out to all the Kelces that are in the family tree. I hope we're not pissing you off. But,
so it's really it's a silent E on your family tree. So it's the family tru is basically what you're saying. The Kelce family tru, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because yeah. I'm trying. Yeah. I don't even know.
You can keep calling me Travis Kelce.
Okay. Because so, it's good. Because yeah.
with what Papa Kelce turned it into.
After hearing this on Taylor's podcast, the Bussin' with the Boys, I got to mention. Oh, by the way. You got to mention Compton too, right? I mean, because he gets really
That's
pissed.
That's a tandem right there. Man.
He gets really pissed, and I kind of like always like forgetting him. I like leaving him off. Like, yeah, it's Taylor Lewan's podcast. Because once I, by the way, and after hearing that and then seeing you shave, I've thought I don't even know who the hell Travis Kelce is anymore. You know, like my whole world is off its axis. I didn't even know what the hell was going on right there.
Yeah, I'm walking around Kansas City just blending in with the trees. Nobody even knows. It's like, who's that tall guy with the shaved face?
With the shaved face.
He looks familiar, but I can't pick it out.
Yeah. Where do you think, Travis Kelce here on the Rich Eisen Show, where do you think you're going to be on the top 10 list? What do you got? One? Let's say it. Come on. What do you think?
I'm very honored to even, you know, be recognized within the top 10. I mean, on the 100, it's such a team-driven sport, Rich. You know, a lot of the individual accolades, you know, they're cool at the end of the day.
Yes.
And when you're everything's said and done. But what's real is that, you know, I'm not the same player without a guy named Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Coach Andy Reid. So, you know, it's just it's me thanking everybody, you know, for doing their job and help making my life so easy on the football field and help making this team better.
Now, let's just, though, really just act like it's just the two of us talking here and there's nobody else listening, despite the fact it's an international audience. But let's just say, what would it mean if you wound up higher on the list than Mahomes, though? How great would that be?
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
How great,
I don't know if I would ever let him live that down. I would just tell him, you need me every day. I'm like, you need me.
Honestly, how amazing would that be if it winds up?
My gosh. I might even go on Twitter and say this list is just bananas. This list is ridiculous. I'm sick of seeing guys just placed anywhere on
here. Oh, that would be wonderful, though.
It would be rich.
It would, would it not be? I'm so rooting for you on that front. That would be great. I would just be my eyes peeled on this weekend and just hope I hear Mahomes' name before Kelce. That would be amazing. And my son did choose you fifth overall in his fantasy draft, my 10-year-old. Yes, and he came up last year because he likes having puns for his fantasy team names and things like that. Like, Tell It to the Judge is his fantasy baseball because he's got Aaron Judge on it. So the name of his team, his name of the team, you ready for this, Travis? You ready?
I'm waiting on it.
To Kelce for Comfort. That's the name of his team. To Kelce
for Comfort.
Yeah.
I like that. That's pretty clever.
There you go.
That's pretty clever.
Yeah, his dad came up with it. He had no idea. He had no idea.
Work with that one.
That's it. See, I came up with it. He really didn't know. He doesn't remember what Too Close for Comfort is or anything like that, but he loves it. He's fired up, man. So you're not just playing for the Chiefs. You're playing for Too Kelsey for Comfort. I just want you to be aware of that.
You get a good name, you're in it. It's just how fantasy football works.
Here we go.
If you got a bad name, you might as well just not even look every single week.
Okay. I've got a couple of football questions for you, Travis Kelsey. Here they come. Here's the first one. How in the world do you improve on anything? It just seems that, you know, I understand last year you didn't finish up with you picking confetti out of your hair, but it just seems to be so terrific and everybody seems to be getting better. I mean, honestly, what is it like to be pushing the same rock up the same hill and hoping to get a one different result on the win loss? What's that like, Travis Kelsey?
Well, one thing about football is that you're nonstop. You can always find something to get better at. It's just you never have seen all the reps that you're going to see out on the football field. It always plays out differently. Even when you think you got something schemed up and everything, it just plays out always just a little bit different. So building the instincts to always have something in your back pocket to refer to, or just to, you know, have instinctual visualizations and stuff like that. I'm always trying to find other ways to win my routes or to make the block, things like that. So that's always, you know, taking me to the next level or trying to get me over the hump to the next level. In every aspect of the game. But I think Coach Reed does an unbelievable job every single year, year in, year out, of creating a playbook that we can grow in. So it's not the same stuff that we've been throwing out there so we can get schemed up and it makes our job harder. It's actually he's putting in new stuff. He's putting in things that are, you know, going to make our jobs that much easier out there on the field and put us in a position to have success. And when we rep all these plays in practice, we find ways to have success versus various coverages. And I think that's where I really grow every single year, is within this offense and going out there and just trying to make the best play for the team, man.
What's it like to get one of those new plays from Reed? Have you had one of those moments like, where the hell?
Oh, man.
And obviously, you know, Eric Bieniemy, and it's a staff contribution. But when you get one of them, and have you had moments like, wow, I didn't think of that? Like, how do they think of that? Do you have that stuff, or no? Not really.
No, we got some wacky stuff in the playbook now. I mean, we got some gadget stuff that you wouldn't even think would be on a football field. But it's fun, man. I tell everybody all the time, man. Wednesdays might be my second favorite day of the week outside of Sundays or player game day, because Wednesdays that Wednesday install is that base game plan, the majority of the plays that you're gonna get. And it's just exciting to hear Coach Reed, you know, explain how we're going to attack this team, and with what parts and with what routes and what run plays and stuff like that. It's exciting for me. And I feel like with Mahomes, it expanded even more. So three, four years ago, whenever Pat got here, everything started to expand. And even Alex's last year, it started to expand downfield with the players that we had, with Tyreek Hill and all the speed we had. It's just been a whole lot of fun just, you know, hearing Coach Reed get excited about a play call and then finally getting it called in the game and it going for six, man. It's just it's a time warp that I love being in, man.
No, and the question, you know, you bring up Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes, 2 minutes left here with Travis Kelsey on the Rich Eisen Show. And I'm gonna ask the question, and this is not at all in any way, shape, or form to see if Alex Smith shouldn't have started that whole first season as Mahomes was just drafted at all, okay? And that's my front load of this thing, because I'm asking this question merely because we're seeing Matt Nagy, who was on the staff that year, now in Chicago, trying to replicate something where he's got a new jewel, right, that he just traded up to go get in the first round, just like the Chiefs did with Mahomes. Do you think Mahomes needed that time to become the Mahomes he is today? Travis, best you can tell, having a front row seat for all of that, what do you think?
I'm a little biased. That's a great question. I'm a little biased in who Patrick Mahomes is. I think I saw it from the get-go, his determination, his ability to see coverages early, feel confident in what he's seeing, be able to throw a good ball. And then obviously his ability to make plays when the play breaks down. It's second to no one that I've ever played with or ever seen on the field. So I'm a little biased when I say I don't think he needed that year, but I do think that it helped him be ready for the next season more than anything, without a doubt. Him understanding Alex's professionalism, just how to be a pro, it's reassuring. It gives you that confidence that, okay, I know how to do this. This is a guy who's had success in the league for numerous years, almost a decade now, and this he does it like this. I can see how he has success and turn it into my own madness and my own psychic, and I think that really helped him. But at the same time, when you're talking about need it, I don't know, man. Patrick Mahomes got something about him that I think he was going to find a way. It might not have been early, as fast as the 50 touchdowns his first season starting, or 55 touchdowns his first season starting. It might not have been something like that. But it would. I think he would have still had or found success under Coach Reed.
What about like huddle command? What about huddle command and having the play call and knowing it and being able to deliver it in a manner in the huddle that communicated rather than just memorizing it and spitting it out and stuff like that?
Those are all things that first-year quarterbacks and first-year players all struggle with. Getting in and out of the huddle, being confident with what they're seeing, what they know, their progression and stuff like that. I think it definitely helped him. Like I said, it definitely helped him. But Pat was always pretty good just in terms of being on top of the play calling and understanding where he needs to go versus what coverage is and stuff like that.
Well, Travis, always appreciate the time. Congratulations in advance on being the inaugural member of 2 Kelsey for Comfort. I hope you ball out.
Love listening to you guys.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. You're the best, Travis Kelsey. You bet. Let's chat down the line. That's the one and only Travis Kelsey right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
This is a Rich Eisen Best Of.
We just had Travis Kelsey on, and I talked to him about the top 10 list that tops the top 100 players of 2021 list that the NFL Network has been counting down, as voted by peers. Mm-hmm. And we're now down to the final 10. It's the reveal of the top 10 players of 2021 as voted by the peers on NFL Network. And the final 10 in alphabetical order as Instagrammed out by my colleagues at NFL Network. Mm-hmm. Devontae Adams of the Packers. Josh Allen of the Bills has made it into the top 10. Tom Brady, I've heard of him.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald. Derrick Henry, whose photograph they chose because it is just just honestly, the guy looks at you and he's like, I'll give him 2,000 yards for the look. He's got the 2,000 yard stare.
Yeah, you don't want that smoke.
DeAndre Hopkins, Travis Kelsey, and Mahomes. Interestingly enough, Kelsey's first before Mahomes.
Alphabetically.
Right there, alphabetically.
Yeah, okay, before.
And I just was having fun with him. Just what if Mahomes comes before Kelsey on this list? Just that you hear him named and Kelsey's the first, is the last chief in. That would be amazing. Unlikely. Aaron Rodgers and TJ Watt. Those are the 10 remaining. So TJ Watt has made it into the top 10, as has Josh Allen, man. And McKelsey, what he has made of himself,
top
what he has
10,
done.
Man.
Like I just mentioned, this new re-emphasis or emphasis on taunting. Back in the day when Kelsey was a young pup coming out of Cincinnati, this emphasis was for folks like him. And he is just a whole different ball of wax. A raw talent now, a top talent, top 10 talent, and on a Hall of Fame trajectory in the Pro Football Hall of Fame trajectory in the National Football League. Incredible. You said, why don't I
Yeah, just since we...
I'll do it.
We know who the 10 are.
Let's I have written it down. I've created my... This is how I see the top 10 players being based on all that. Thank you for the musical accompaniment, sir. Gets me in the mood. Number 10 on my list is going to be TJ Watt. Okay. I'm going to put the Steeler right there. I'm going to say to TJ that he deserves to be top 10. He's just going to be number 10 on my list, and I would look forward to him being a defensive player of the year and being even higher than 10th on the list. He's new to this list, at, you know, 10th overall. I'll give him that.
TJ.
Thank you very much. And then with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Mahomes on this list, I'm going to put Josh Allen here. Again, this is the first. I mean, what he did last year was incredible. He was on one of my fantasy teams. It was an absolute pleasure and delight. I can only imagine what fans in Western New York think and feel about him. And as I said last year, he's coming for your soul. He is coming for your soul. And when he rolls out of the pocket, he's like the Mandalorian quarterback. He is on a mission, and he is the one, and he is terrific. But again, we only saw it from him once last year. Let's see what he can do this year. Now we're coming down to who is the best at your position.
Okay.
Because there's a couple of receivers. There's a handful of more quarterbacks remaining.
Yeah.
And so I am going to say Davante Adams goes here.
Number eight.
Number eight overall. And, you know, he makes the case that he's the best receiver in the league. And you could absolutely believe that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to just make this part of the pecking order that he is the second best receiver in the top 10. And he's the third best pass catcher. Because as we said, after talking to Travis Kelce, when you call a tight end a pass catcher, that means he can catch more and amass more yards than wide receivers, which is what he did last year. And this is where I'm putting Travis Kelce, seventh on the list on my top 10 for the top 100 players of 2021. I'm putting Killatrav 87, number seven,
okay,
on this list. And as much as I'd love to hear Mahomes' name before his on NFL Network on Saturday, I don't believe that's going to be the case. Even he pointed out that would be bananas. We'll put him right there at number seven. And then number six, I just think his abilities at this position makes him number one. And Davante Adams has every reason to bang the table and pound his chest to say he's the best receiver in the league. I could totally agree with that, but I'll just agree to disagree in this case. And it's DeAndre Hopkins. The guy is unbelievable. And we are showing him grabbing and bringing down the Hail Murray right now. Those are three defenders around him. And his hands are vice-like.
Yeah.
His catch radius is pterodactyl-like. His feet are ballet nimble. I will never see somebody toe tap towards the boundary and not worry for a split second that both feet are in. It's every time.
Yeah.
It's a shock when it doesn't. So he's number six.
It was a better catch by eye, as he said.
That's right. Better back catch by eye. Now, here's your top five.
Top five. Let's go, Rich.
So I now have three quarterbacks, a running back, and a grown-ass man on the defensive line. And I'm going to go with Tom Brady, number five, right here. In case you think I'm biased, being a Michigan man, and TB12 is basically my guy. And he's my guy of the three guys I'm looking at over there. My son Cooper has now joined the crew with my cousins. I mean, his cousins, Sam and Jack, my nephews, here for Zan's bar mitzvah this weekend. Shout out. I'll put TB12 right here, fifth overall.
Okay.
He is the GOAT. He is the greatest of all time. But I'm talking about players in the National Football League right now. And he is a worthy top five guy. But I'm gonna go with the MVP of last year above him, and then the MVP of the year before that, or 2 years before that, above him, right here. With all due respect, I say that second because I truly mean it. If you put it first, you don't really
mean
it.
Yeah, but you mean this.
Right.
Yeah.
Number four is the guy who's stealing souls, and I think he's the best running back in the league. I think he's one of the best running backs we'll see of all time when it's all said and done. He's Derrick Henry of the Tennessee Titans. He's number four. Just look at him. I mean, just every time you see him run the ball, it's just like, oh my, and the shot we have on the screen right here is a huge hole. I cannot imagine you're a linebacker with him coming through a huge hole. It's just like, oh no.
Oh, no.
He's the MVP of the Tennessee Titans. He is the guy that could be the MVP this year. I think with a 17th regular season game, we might see Eric Dickerson's record go down, and then we'll argue about asterisks and things like that. He's number four on my list. Number three on my list is last year's MVP. I'm going with Aaron Rodgers. So the first Aaron off the board in the top five is Rodgers, your MVP of the league. And then I'll just bang it out right here. Number two
is
Aaron Donald.
Oh, okay.
Number two. I mean, stopping in the run on the way to the quarterback is what Warren Sapp always told me is what you need to do from the middle of the line. Stop the run on the way to the quarterback. And sometimes Aaron Donald stops both, which is the running back who's attempting to chip him or block him, God forbid, for that running back, and then the quarterback. I mean, you've seen him tackle both. You've seen that. He's amazing. He is truly one of the best of all time.
He's a genetic freak.
And he's going to look great in a gold jacket. And I choose him number two overall because number one for me is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
He's an incredibly special talent. This just in. As Berman would say, this just in. I go with Patrick Mahomes, number one overall. And everybody can argue. That's what a list like this is for. But that's my list. TJ Watt, Josh Allen, Devontae Adams, 10-9-8. Travis Kelce, D-Hop, Tom Brady, 7-6-5. Then Derrick Henry, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Donald, Patrick Mahomes, number one for me.
That's a solid list. And I mean, legitimately solid, not like the solid that we sometimes use.
As you know, I consider the word solid an unsatisfactory adjective for excellent.
But
that is not,
but I'm not taking a downgrade. Shots. I'm saying this is a solid list. You know, this is.
But again, I tell you, when people say to me, hey, Rich, that was solid. When you do someone a solid is much better than, hey, man, that was solid. Solid to me is not, it's not an adjective. It is not a word for excellent.
Well, I wouldn't say it's a good list. You know, it's a, I dig your list, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. I got no issues
What would you change?
I mean, look, I don't know that.
Would you put Adams over D-Hop?
That may be the only place that I'd switch them up. But other than that, I think you pretty much hit it. And like, look,
would you put Adams above Kelce?
I probably, that's a tough one. That when you gave those two, I think I might have to go Devontae over Travis.
Okay.
But by the slightest of margins.
Would you put Rodgers and Mahomes over Brady?
I would.
Okay. Would you put Aaron Donald above Aaron Rodgers?
I believe that is the move.
Okay. Yeah. Who is your number one? Is it Mahomes?
I think you'd have to have Mahomes number one on this list. So yeah, I think you did a great job with it.
See, why couldn't you have led with that and said that's solid?
But
I think you did a great job with it is much
more
complimentary than saying that's a solid list.
I said I'm using solid as a real compliment, not the way we generally tend to.
No, I know that's what you said. I appreciate that sort of caveat.
So I just wanted to let you know that.
And you did not say with all due respect in leading into it. With all due respect, that's a solid list is truly fighting words for me.
I dig your list. And
thank you.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
That was a solid analysis of Rich's list.
Thank you. Thanks, Ed. And that's a solid one shot of you. That's a solid single shot of you, dude.
Look. It's my Garoppolo.
So silly, Garoppolo. So very silly.